I'd like to call this regular board meeting of Southeast Alaska Power Agency to order. It is December 12, 2019, and we are at Cape Fox. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Carl Amelon.
Here.
Andy Donato. Bob Severson.
Present.
Jack Davies.
Here.
Dick Hoos.
Here.
Cliff Skillings.
Here.
Bob Lynn.
Here.
Robert Larson.
Here.
Steve Prisunka.
Here.
Lisa Von Bargen. Is there anybody on the line that would like to introduce themselves? No response, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Just to remind you that your microphone's in front of you. If you want to speak, please turn on the mic so we can get the recordings clear in regards to any business that we're doing. That brings us down to communications only on the table. We do have a motion that will be attached to item 6, financial report, item H, which is the meeting in regards to the budget and financials. Is that G or H?
Yeah. H.
So prior to starting that discussion, we'll have to have the motion made in order to bring it to right order. Are there any disclosures of conflict of interest at this time? Yes.
No, I provided concrete numbers for the project as bid at Stormlake 1000.
All right. Thank you. I don't see that as a conflict here today, so we'll move on. Approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Moved out by Bob, seconded by Dick. Any discussion, additions, corrections? Seeing and hearing none, please call the roll.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prisunka?
Yes.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 3 on the agenda, which is the proclamation. This is for dedication of service in support of the hydropower in Southeast Alaska, whereas the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, SEPA, recognizes the importance of hydropower in Southeast Alaska, and whereas SEPA appreciates the vital role played by those individuals who, as directors of the agency, establish policies to ensure the agency's mission of providing the lowest wholesale power rate consistent with the sound utility planning and business practices, and whereas the directors of the agency serve as the voice of the respective communities and the agency to provide unified regional leadership for project development and prudent management of SEPA's interconnected power system, and whereas Andy Donato, Jack Davies, and Dick Coos all have served in various capacities in their respective communities and one or more years as board members of the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, who selflessly devoted their knowledge, time, and talents as advocates of affordable power and responsible for communities in the best interests of their respective communities and balance those interests with agency goals. So now there be, therefore, the Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board of Directors hereby recognize, thanks, and honors Andy Donato, Jack Davies, and Dick Coos for their investment of time, dedication, and service and support of hydropower in Southeast Alaska. So thank you, guys. Well deserved.
Thank you.
So that brings us on to persons to be heard. Is there anybody that wishes to speak to the board at this particular time? Is there anybody online? Hearing and seeing none, that brings us on to review and approval of minutes. I think there would be a motion.
Page 4 of the PDF.
Okay.
The minutes? We usually don't.
We don't usually have those approvals.
No, sorry, okay. I just saw
just
the
review.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just usually move and mention the two dates.
What's that?
They usually just make a motion and mention the two dates.
Yeah. So do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Is that what we do?
Mm-hmm.
Did we get come up with a page number?
Yeah, we'll bring that.
So to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. And the dates are for the September 26th and 27th and October 30th meeting, special board meeting. Please call the roll.
Prisunka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us on to item six, financial report. We will start with Trey.
All right. Did you want to put the motion on the table?
Yes.
Page 13.
Page 13, excuse me.
Mr. Chair, I move to accept disbursements for September, October, and November 2019, totaling $1,968,685.30, and financial statements for October 2019 as presented.
Thank you very much. Trey.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll just kind of go through my cover memo here, just in case folks haven't had a chance to review it, and it's probably good to read some of the stuff into the record occasionally. I kind of start off CEPA's financial position, I'll say, has diminished somewhat due to the drought conditions over the last year, water shortages, limited sales, and reduced reserves. Total agency funds as of November 2019 were $22 million, and about half, and versus about $26 million and change last year. So, pretty significant change. The dedicated R&R fund at the end of November was down to about $4.5 million because we haven't made a levelized payment in it since last year. And the revenue fund was down to 1.6, and that's kind of our operating cash flow fund. So I think it's just important for the board to remember that, we have volatility in our rates, about 3 to 3.5 million year from the high and the low. So we operate within that band. So if we have two consecutive years, potentially our reserves can be diminished by 7 million. That's pretty significant when you consider our total revenues average about 10 to 12 million. So we'll get into a little bit more of that discussion later on, but I think it's good to remember that, and the impact of potentially consecutive low years on revenues. Moving into that, sales for July through the end of November were 57,487 kilowatt hours. Converted to revenue through the end of November is about $3.9 million, versus about $3.476 million over the budget. Of course, we have our fund flow charts and stuff. I'll get into those in just a minute. Total administrative and operating expenses for July through the end of October were $1,983,646 actual versus $2,462,634 budget. Renewal and replacement projects, total R&R expenditures for July through the end of October were $885,000 and change versus the total budget of about $2 million. I will note that progress did slow a fair amount on some of those projects. When we had the submarine cable, we had to shift some resources over there to focus on that. That did take up quite a bit of time for several people. So in grants, we still just have one grant left on the books. And so that's just my cover memo there. I'm happy to jump into the specific financials if you want to run through those, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions in regards to the report at this particular time? So as you page through the packet, we'll see the disbursement summaries on page 14. Showing it broke down by the month, the revenues, what we're doing there, and what's going into the expenditures and disbursements. Page. Yes.
So could.
Mike. Here you go. Kind of push the button on it.
Trey, could you explain the open grant? Which one do we still have open?
So we have a DCCED grant, and that was the one for the hydrosite investigation, and there were some other different elements in there, but that's the overall grant, what that's for.
There's a grant page in here, if I can put my finger on it here, I'll get to it. Yeah, so on page 22, there's a grant summary there. And that shows that we have about $450,000 open balance on that grant, and that grant has been extended through the end of June. So we have that much time to spend that money, and that should cover all the work that we currently have going on, the hydrosite investigation work. And with a little bit left over, if there's some loose ends, we have to clean up at the end of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
So the next three pages are the details in regards to the disbursements. Those ending on page 17. We move into the grass. Is there anything you want to highlight on those? It starts on, I think we're on page 18. Pretty typical what we see. But as you look at it, the difference between year to year is pretty substantial. We go down, we look at the different communities and their usages. Page 20, there's a cumulative chart there in regards to kilowatt hours, sales, broken down again by communities up on the top. You want to talk any about those trades?
I'll just note that, you know, we started off the year pretty slow, and sales have caught up a fair amount these last few months. So they seem to be normalizing with historical trends somewhat.
So page 21, again, we get into the fund allocation graph. It shows there how those are situated. Any highlights you want to do with that particular page, or any questions from the board in regards to those?
We put this graph together a few years back to help just visualize where the large areas of money and reserves are for the organization. And you heard me speak earlier how our total agency funds have diminished by quite a bit over the last year, 18 months. But you know, we still have almost $2 million in there for new generation seed money for initial permitting and that type of work that would occur. So I have the self-insured risk fund that we try to manage at right around $8 million, and the rate stabilization fund that we started up last year. We haven't dipped into that yet, but that's for I'll say extraordinary expenses to prevent a large rate shock to the member utilities. Then the dedicated R&R, I mentioned that earlier, how that's down to about $4.5 million. So
any questions in regards to that page?
Yeah. Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Just want to put the roll just to let Sharon know that Lisa's joined us on the phone now, so she is online.
Thank you.
And just a question for Trey on that. When we did the diesel supplemental income to the northern communities, where did that money come out of?
Revenue.
Just straight out of revenue?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Page 22 shows the grant summaries. We talked a little bit about those, where we're at with that. We have, like you said, one outstanding. So, G, we're looking at the year-to-date financial statements through October. That's on page 23.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Trey, one further question. I fully admit I was away for a meeting. We had some initial discussions about that reimbursement to the northern communities coming out of the rate stabilization fund. Is there subsequent discussions to take it all out of revenue?
No, we never took it out of the rate stabilization fund. That was, I don't recall that was the direction the board ever headed.
No, I don't think it was an official, I just know there was discussions about it, that would be a potential pool instead of hammering revenues in the year. But I don't know if that fund being set up possibly with a mandate, and I don't really know how you do your funds, or if it's got to be used for certain purposes.
I think we would have, I mean, if we had to use it for a purpose, whatever the purpose, I think we would move it into revenue, and then we'd still pay it through the revenue fund.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes. I, personally, I don't recall any conversation. There was no direction from the board to use the rate stabilization fund for that purpose.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask if Lisa remembers that at all?
Lisa, do you remember whether or not we had conversations and how we would fund the reimbursements?
My recollection is that early conversations was that it might have to come out of the rate stabilization fund. But the final decision was that it would not. I don't think there was any follow-up conversation. I just know that when it was actually funded at the meeting, it came out of revenues. When the actual action was taken by the board. But I, too, remember conversations about it early on, potentially coming out of rate stabilization.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the only reason I raise it is that, and I don't know this, but I'm wondering, as we move forward looking at budgets and the revenue from this year, we know we took a hit in two ways. We took a hit because there was a reimbursement to the northern communities, and we took a hit because of decreased revenues. And so if we're making plans as we move forward, I guess I had not anticipated this would come straight out of the revenue line, but I'm just sort of putting it out there that I don't know if that will change the conversation and how we have that conversation about revenue and planning for the future, and if that fund was retransferred out to show a more robust revenue for the year. Just a thought, and I don't know if that changes anything, but I know that was sort of my thought when we had that conversation that was thrown out, that was money for stabilization for the rates, but just a thought.
And I think just one possible clarification to what I think you said is I don't think it would have been recorded as revenue if we took it out of the rate stabilization fund and moved it over to the revenue fund. We just would have paid it through that, but it wouldn't actually be recorded on the book as revenue.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And I understand that. I guess if we had taken it out of the rate stabilization fund, it wouldn't have dinged our revenue, which would have given us a tough financial. We've sort of set ourselves in a tough financial position, and as we're moving forward as a board, we're looking at a decreased revenue, decreased, one-time payment for this payment, and it creates kind of this image of a tough situation where I had thought that we would at least be putting that in. And again, it may have no bearing on where we move to, but as we just move forward in our thought process, I just wanted to point that out, that I was sort of not expecting that, but...
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify, on the rate stabilization fund, the policy that we passed, we cannot take money out of that fund without a direct direction from the board.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that forward. So then again, we're into the year-to-date financials. They start and they run to about page 28. Is there any questions in regards to those financial statements? Hearing and seeing none moves us on to H, which is the presentation and acceptance of the FY19 audited financials, and Joy is going to join us on the phone. Where we at?
We need to have
a vote. Yes, we have that motion on the floor. Is there any other discussion? Hearing, seeing none. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Moves us on to H, which is the presentation. Oh, and we have Of course, as I mentioned earlier, they lay on the table, so before we start the discussion, we need to have the motion. Do I have a motion, please?
For the audited, I was going to say the audited financials, we had Joy scheduled to call in at 10. I can try to reach her and...
Probably a little ahead of schedule here.
Yeah.
We are. We went through that pretty quick, so...
Are we still looking for a motion, Mr. Chair?
We can put the motion on, and then when she calls in, we can continue with the discussion. So,
Mr. Chair, I move to accept the Southeast Alaska Power Agency SEPA's fiscal year 2019 audited financial statements as presented in the December 12, 2019 SEPA board packet.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. At this time, Kay will try to get hold of Joy and see if we can get into this just a little bit earlier. And those financial...
They were sent, yeah.
Sorry. They were sent out. So while Kay's doing that, Mr. Chair, I could speak to the audited financials a little bit if you'd like.
Yes.
Might save us a little time. I would draw your attention to page number 4 of the audited financials, and that's the management discussion and analysis. This is where I kind of summarize where we're at. There's some forward-looking statements in it where I think we're going, and I just wanted to know if. I mean, I don't expect Joy to cover this much in any detail. She'll address the audited financials, if you will. But I just wanted to see if the board had any questions on this particular area. Any statements I've made in there, or any questions?
So there's quite a few highlights there. We go down and talk about the assets, deferred overflows, and resource. We talk about net position. Some of that in 219 is due to the reduction in sales, and again the contribution with diesel payments of $843,000. There's a discussion in there in regards to the power rate maintaining at 6.8 in the fiscal year 2019. And it's been held steady for 22 consecutive years. And we'll have discussions about that, I think, later in the meeting. The changes from our fiscal year noted. We talked about rebates, our lack of rebates due to the financial position. Levelization payments in the dedicated R&R is of concern. We show what we typically transfer into that and what we've done due to the situation. We talked about the bonds, capitalization thresholds, and then they talked a little bit about SEPA assuming the operation at Swan Lake as of July 1st. So are there any questions? In regards to those financial highlights as listed? If not, you can continue if you have more, Trey.
Joy will be calling in a few minutes.
Okay, and then we will...
Great.
Listen to Joy. As good a time as any, if anybody wants to get up and replenish their coffee, get some water, another little more to eat, please do so. And...
We want you to take a break, Mr. Chair.
We can take a short break.